So this morning we're going to discuss what are the criteria needed to become to be considered a good shochet. That's the Indian of Yodea Hilchos Shchita, knowing all the various halachas of being a shochet. And that comes up in the Gemara in Gimel Amud Beis as Ravina's understanding of how to interpret the Mishnah. He's, I think, the fifth approach of understanding the Mishnah, and he says that this is all true. If a person knows Yodea Hilchos Shchita, do we trust his Shchita? But if he doesn't know Hilchos Shchita, so then he's not allowed to shecht l'chachila. If he does shecht, so then we have to bodek him, we have to test him afterwards to see his knowledge in Hilchos Shchita. And then the Gemara in the Daf Test also says the same idea in the name of Shmuel, that it's called Tevach Sheini Yodei Hilchos Shchita, Asr Lechel Mishchita, so you can't eat from such a Shchita. So I thought maybe just a good chance for people to much of you looked into what the five psulim are, but in knowing what are the halachos shchita, the basics are that you have to know what the five psulim are. So it's hard to know. If you read Rashi and the Rambam, it's very hard to understand what exactly is going on. So I just brought the article here. You shouldn't be ashamed to use the article. I'm not ashamed to use the article. Some people think they could learn everything from just learning the Gemara Rishon inside. I guarantee Rashi probably saw a few shchitas in his life, and he knew what was going on. There's a famous story of Chaim Kanievsky when he's writing his sefer on the grasshopper. So everyone knows the famous part that the grasshopper, he couldn't finish his sefer because he didn't know what the grasshopper looked like, and one of the inyanim, so he left these notes on his shelf until he finished it. So he asked his daughter to go to this farm store and buy a picture book of the grass, or not even a farm store, just the pictures on grasshoppers, so he knows what he's talking about. His daughter brought him the picture book, and it wasn't the grasshopper that he needed. So he waited, I'm not sure how long he waited, to finally that grasshopper miraculously landed on his desk, and he saw exactly what he needed, and he said, okay, now I'm done, and the grasshopper left. And they said, oh, I forgot one thing. Grasshopper came back a second time, and he finished the sefer. So if a person shouldn't be ashamed, not ashamed. It's needed. You have to see things, b'metzias, to know what's going on here. So none of us I don't think anyone's ever saw a shchita, and if you've seen a shchita, you've never seen a pasul shchita, probably. So don't be ashamed to look these things up. Just to add on to that same idea as well, there's not a plug for those who go into shlachthaus, so I encourage everyone who everyone should, if they have the time to. But Rebbe, the Gemara says in the beginning of Sanhedrin, Rebbe spent, he was a baki in Mumim, in Bechoros, because he spent 18 months on a farm. He lived on a farm just to see exactly what types of Mumim develop on animals. There's no other way to know it unless you've seen the Metzius. So the best we could do is the article, for now at least. And he tells us just to go through the five psulim, we should be familiar with them. A shihia is defined as, the article says, pausing during the shchita. Making a little delay. Now, how long the shihia is for, that's a whole discussion we've shown, but shihia is the first type of psul, delaying it, stopping and then continuing. Drasa is defined as pressing, and the knife into the neck of the animal rather than cutting with a back and forth stroke. You usually go like that, you almost like saw it, it seems, and instead you just press it in. That would be another psul. And chalada is called burrowing. It's poking the knife between the trachea and the esophagus and cutting from that position. So first you stick it inside from the tip, and then you cut side to side, it seems. That's called chalada. Hagrama is cutting beyond, which means cutting above or below the area of the neck, designated for shchita. I think I want to go through the sugya of the makom shchita. I think we'll spend a day on that. And then ikur is the final psul, and that's called tearing. That's when there's a little nick in the knife, and it tugs away at the simanim, and it pulls the pipes away, as opposed to from the blade itself. So those are the five psulim. Nothing to do with our sugya today, but this is, I think, a good chance to just understand the basics of these psulim. So now, the Indian of a shochet, knowing the halachas of shchita. So there's a tosvos. Daf Gimel Beis. I assume you guys got a chance to see this, and you saw the Rambam. There's a machlokas here. What happens if a shochet does not know Hilchos Shchita? How essential is it? So Tosfos, right? What's Tosfos, right, guys? No one saw Tosfos? No one saw Tosfos? What? Pasul B'di'evid. He said, right, exactly. Even B'di'evid is Pasul. Even B'di'evid is Pasul, right? He says that the whole discussion here is... You don't know. You're not sure if the guy knows. But or if it's for sure, you know vadai that he doesn't know hilchos shchita. As Eli said, afilu b'di'eved shchitas apsula. It doesn't work. It's mamish pasul, which would sound like it's an iser nevela, and one would seemingly get malchus for eating this. So the Rambam writes otherwise. Rambam writes in the beginning of a Perek Dalet. he says that the Yisraeli she'eni yodeh chamisha dvar mishem afsidin es hashchita, and he's shachar beino levein atzmo aser lechol mishchetasa lohu v'lo acherim. He can eat from it, others can eat from it. Harezu krova l'safek nevela. Very strange language. It would have been sufficient to say safek nevela, or maybe krova l'nevela. I don't know what he wants by krova l'safek nevela, but it's not a nevela itself, that much we know. And one who ochel mimeno kezais makin oso makiz mardis. The violation would be makiz mardis. So seemingly, it could be you could reinterpret Tosos otherwise, but the pashtus of Tosos is that he argues and says it's nevela deraisa, and it would lead to malkos deraisa. Fascinating. So what's the machlokus about when one doesn't know hilchos shchita, whether it results in a nevela that's midiraisa or a nevela only midirabanan? Mm-hmm. Before we try to explain this, there are some other nafkaminas as well, and from serious nafkaminas. The Taz in two places in Lashita. So you guys got a chance to see the Taz in Simon Tezayin. Anyone saw the Taz there? So he's talking about the Isra Os Espino. Someone wanted to know why we're not learning Os Espino as one of the Prakim in the second Seder. Os Espino is a very nice parak, but it's a hard parak, and I didn't think it was Shaykh for the summer. It talks a lot about Choshen Lezer Ha'av, confusion of different types of parents of animals, a sheep and a goat, and what the product of that is, and whether Choshe. So it's a very confusing sugya, and you need to learn other Prakim as well. The sugya itself, Os Espino, that sugya alone is a very interesting sugya. Just as an aside, I'll point out, Pashup Shad, the Isser of Oses Beno, there's an Isser Shchita. That's the Isser. To do a Shchita, Isser in the Maisa. But there is, Rav Perlau has a very nice long piece, Kedarko, on the Rasag, and he quotes in the Bahag. I haven't seen this in a while, but I believe his Diak from the Bahag is the Bahag places the Isser Oses Beno. The Raman places Oses Beno in Hilchos Shchita. The Bahag places it, anyone know where he places it? Hilchos Machalos Asuros. So based on that, Rapprola thinks that the Isra Espino is not an Isra Shchita, but it's an Isra, it's an Isra Chefza. The Isra Chefza, like Bas B'chalav, after it's been cooked, is an Isra Chefza. Nevela is an Isra Chefza. He thinks, Os Espino, when you shech the mother, and the child is still there, there's an Isra and the Chefza of the... And there are a number of Nafka communities he goes to. So that itself is an interesting sugya, but that you really don't need to learn the whole parak for that. Just the first Amud is really sufficient. So now, in the world of Isra Os Espino, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen Tes Zayin Sif Tes, Ein Isser Oses Beno Ela B'Shchita Bilad Shenemar Lo Sishchatu. They don't do a Ma'isa Shchita. Aval Im Nicher Esser Rishon O Nisna Bel B'Yado. If you kill it in some other way where it's not a Kasha Shchita, it ends up being a Nevela. So then Mutter Hasheni. So that means if someone did a Nevela on the mother shot the mother in the head, and the mother died, so then you can Shech the calf in the same day. It's only if both of them were kasha shchita. And the Shulchan Aruch says, therefore, if a cheir shot of a katan, shechs the rishon, beinu levein atzmo, no one watched him, you assume it's a pasul shchita, and you could go ahead, lechachila, and shech the child of that animal. Even though there's a chashash, maybe the katan did a kasha shchita, and now you're going to violate an issa deraisa, and we would say, safek deraisa, lechumra, and just stay away. Nope. We're safe to assume that the child did a pasul shchita, in which case, you're allowed to l'chachila shech the child. So on that halacha, the Taz says, v'nira li tehu adin begadol she'en yodea hilcha shchita. A gadol, an adult, who doesn't know hilcha shchita, he shechs the mother, you're a l'chachila allowed to shech the calf on that very same day. Shouldn't there be a chashash, safek deraisa, maybe the gadol did a good shchita? So how can we assume this mamash not shchita at all? And this would be in line with Tosfos. That when you shech an animal without knowing hilchos shchita, it's mamash a nevela. And one who eats it, it's malkos deraisa. And you could shech the child that very same day. So that's another shita. Sorry. So that's another shita that holds like Tosfos, that the iser of shechting by a shochet she'eno yodei hilchos shchita is mamash a real nevela. The Taz of Lishitaso in the halachas of Kisui Adam. This is not as serious as Oses Beno. It doesn't involve an Issa Deraisa, but still is Lishitaso. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen Chafres. Anyone get to see this Simen here? The Sif in Shulchan Aruch? No, I saw it. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch says that Hashochet v'nisnabla biyado, someone did a Shechita and ended up being an incorrect Shechita. Or he did a Shechita and it's Trefa. So you can't eat the animal, it has a punctured lung, let's say. Patur min l'chaso, so you don't have to do kisrei adam, because it's kisrei adam is only on a kasha shechita. V'chein cheresh shotev akatan sheshachtu, v'einachem ro'un asam, same shita as the Shulchan Aruch and Oses Beno. V'cheresh shotev akatan shechs an animal, and no one's observing him do this. We assume cheskash shechitasan mikul kelas. We could assume, it's safe to assume that shechita is possible, and therefore ptura mikisrei. There's no need to do kisrei adam. You could see the blood there on the floor from the oaf or the chaya, and you could completely ignore it if you know the katan shechted it. Ah, you have a chance of doing a suffix derais of a mitzvah, maybe you should cover it just to be safe. No, not, don't even entertain that. It's a chazaka that it's a pasul shechita. So comments the Taz again on kisrei adam, v'hu adin gadol sheshachat v'ein yodea hilcha shechita, the rov ma'asa mekukalim. You could assume as well, for a gadol who had no idea, any of us, we're all bichlal that parsha of not knowing hilchos shechita. Even though we learned the five psalm, and maybe we could tell you what they mean in English, we don't know the hilchos shechita. So if any of us go over to an oaf and shecht, cut off the head of an oaf, we would assume that was a pasul shechita, and there is no inyan to cover up the blood. That assumes that mamish a pasul shechita. That's like Tosfos, it's mamish a nevela. Or Sameach, I couldn't find the chelik here in the base medrash. Anyone come across it? So can you remind me? I think he says that he thinks for the Rambam there would be an Isra Oses Beno, right? Is that what he said? Do you remember?
He just said he's talking
about the Isra Tumah. Isra Tumah?
I mean, it's
the wrong
one.
Oh, okay. I thought he said Oses Beno, but I
couldn't. I thought he was saying the Nafkaminos in terms of Tumah, whether you consider it a Suffolk or Karav a Suffolk.
It could be that. That would also be Nafkamina. I thought he mentioned Oses Beno there as well, but maybe not. Another Nafkamina would be in terms of Tumah. Like Shimi's saying, that if it's mamish and nevela, like Tos was assumed, so then there's an Isra Tumas, not Isra, there's Tumas nevela. But if you assume like the Rambam, that we don't know if it's a nevela, it's a kar of Suffolk, the nevela, so then they wouldn't necessarily create any Tumah. So there are a number of nafkaminas about whether or not a shochet, sheinu yedei hilcha shechita, whether or not his shechita would be considered a vade nevela or a Suffolk nevela. So what's the machlokas about? Pashup Shat. It's just a question of chashash. How much of a chashash is there? A person will make a mistake, whether or not if he knows halachas, of course he'll make less likely make a mistake. And if he doesn't know the halachas, more likely he'll make a mistake. So it could be the likelihood of the how much he'll make a mistake if he knows halachas or not. That's the Pashup Shat understanding. But I think that there could be a different approach here. That could be based on something we saw in Rav Soloveitchik already. I forgot to bring the Ritva here, but the Ritva defines the word... Mumcha. Anyone see what the Ritva said about Mumcha?
He knows
right, Mumcha usually means he's Mumcha. Right, not as big as Bucky, but Mumcha means he knows in this particular area of Hilcha Shechita. Mumcha usually means Mumcha L'chol Dvarim. He's Yodea, all of Shas and Poskim. But this particular area, Ritva was uncomfortable saying that, so it was just in this area of Hilcha Shechita. So I think you could say maybe the usage of mumcha then is very strange. Why would the Gemara call mumcha? If every other place of mumcha means some, the guy was samach, he received smicha, he received the acknowledgement of being yodei hilchosh, whatever it is. Suddenly here mumcha changes the definition, that it means just as a mumcha in this particular area. So I think there's room to say what we saw, Rav Soloveitchik, as I said before, and the Rama writes in Siman Aleph, Sif Aleph at the end, he says that there was a minhag that's brought down by the poskim, that there's an inyan to have a kabbalah, to receive a license, to be approved as a shochet. That's the inyan. And he talks about this, that if a person, this is the Rama writes at the end, quoting Rajva, im lo natal kabbalah, now this kabbalah is not really found in the Gemara, but perhaps it could be based on the sugya, an idea that like this, im lo natal kabbalah, the guy didn't receive a kabbalah, me'olam, he never received the license, never passed the test. Even though he may have known hilchos shechita, Kol Masha Shachat, we assume it's a trefa. Gam kol akelim shebishul bahem, Masha Shachat, trichen hechsher. Everything that this guy did without a license, we say is all pasul, all trefa, and we require kashering all these kelim. That's the din. So perhaps we could say that idea of the Kabbalah is something already based in the Gemara here. This machlokas we shown. The inyan of Yodei Hilchos Shechita may not only be a practical understanding of what's going on, it might be part of a license that you need to become a mumcha, you need to know hilchos shechita. to become a get this license, you have to know Hilchos Shechita. It's a chaloshe of an individual who he was. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested, perhaps why another reason why a woman would be possible. Now, no one says this about a woman, but this was his chiddush, that since there's a certain level of srara by a shochet, he has a certain level of authority over others. So that might be a reason why, since women can't have positions of authority, they're possible for being a shochet. So here as well, in order to get to that position of being a shochet, you need to be a mumcha. A mumcha means you have to pass the tests. So therefore, Tosfos assumes if you haven't passed the test, if you don't know Hilchos Shechita, that means you're not a shochet. If you're not a shochet, like the Ramah says, if you haven't received your Kabbalah, everything's mamash and nevela. That means you get malchus for eating nevela. That means there's going to be tumah. That means there's no Israel says b'no. That means there's no kisrei adam. The Rambam, on the other hand, felt that no, Hilchos Shechita is purely practical. And if the guy is shechs without knowing the halachas, without being a mumcha, doesn't really make a difference. You don't need a title. You don't need to have a chaloshem shochet in order to shecht. But still, if he doesn't know the halachas, there's a strong likelihood that there's a pasul shechita. But we don't assume it's a vadei shechita, that there's an iser nevela. It's just we don't know. It's a case of a safek. And therefore, we treat it like any other type of safek, that we have to be safek, don't eat it, is a nevela, perhaps. But if you do eat it, it's a safek, so we're not going to give you malkos. It's a safek, so therefore, l'chora, against the taz, you should do kisrei adam, because there might be a mitzvah. And there's a suffix of oses b'no, so it may have been a good shechita, so don't shech the child. So all these, I would assume, in the Rambam, would seem to go against all the halachas that we saw in the Ramah, the Tosfos, and in the two Tazas. Yes?
I don't understand, like, the svara of Tosfos, according to this pshat. What would be the svara? Why is it vadeh and veil? The veil isn't a tzius type of thing. So what's the svara to say? Because he doesn't have a license, therefore it's vadeh and veil.
No, so what the chiddush here is that in order to have the ability to be do ma'aseh shechita, you have to be a shochet. So let's say, for example, a kohen. So only a kohen could do the avoda. If you're a zar, so the avoda you've done is pasul. So this is a chiddush here. I acknowledge it's a very big chiddush here. But the same idea, if in order for you to engage in ma'aseh shechita tzchulin, you need to be a shochet. Like a kohen needs to be a kohen.
Is there a lot of time he's not a bar zvich unless he has a license?
That's what it seems like, exactly. Right. Okay, so I think you could explain two other machlokasim in this approach. Yeah, Shimi.
If according to the Rambam, it's purely the idea of Hilchos Shechita is purely a practical and there's no ma'isa, and that's why we're doing that. So why is the Rambam Zalashan Krova Safik Nevela, not Safik Nevela?
So that much I don't know. I mean, if the Rambam were to hold like Tosos, he would say it's a Vadai Nevela. So I don't know what he's trying to accomplish with Karov and Safik. I don't know what he's kind of fine line he's walking here, but it's definitely not Vada. That's all I know. I don't know how to explain the other way, though. But it could be it has something to do with just in terms of ratios and statistics.
It's really practical, and it's just if he knows and he does, and if he doesn't know, so we're in a soupbox, then it's just a submit.
Yeah.
There's speakers that are 50-50, there's speakers that are 37. It's a suffix.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to necessarily be a question on this pshat. I just don't know what pshat on the Rambam is. I don't. It's a strange lashon. Okay. So there is another machlokas amongst the Rishonim. Your question? Oh. Another machlokas amongst the Rishonim about how much does a person have to know? How much Hilchos Shechita qualifies you? So the Mordechai, anyone get to see the Mordechai, what he writes in Tuf Kuf Ayin Dalad? The Mordechai is very limited. If I could find this Mordechai quickly. Mordechai writes that imho yodea pshutan, the simple understanding, afilu ein yodea dikdukin shechitas an kshayer. Don't have to know every diuk of halacha hilchos shechita. Know every single prima gadim and crazy you placey, and that's crazy to know that. We don't need to know all those halachas. Okay, that's the Mordechai shita. Then there's the Beis Yosef, who says you have to know a little bit more. Beis Yosef says, Adshu bikin bechafta al sifri hakodesh v'talmud b'kama prokim v'yodim hilchos shechita. You have to know everything, not just hilchos shechita. You expected to know all of Tanakh, all 24 books of Tanakh, all of Shas, and many prokim of Shas, and bikis and the various trefas, and then your kasher shochet. That's a lot more. And then the Darchei Moshe has some middle shita. The Rama writes in the Darchei Moshe that if he's baki b'dvarim hashchichim dai b'kach, only the common types of trefos and the type common types of shilas. You know, some types of Rabbanim the same way. Some Rabbanim know the common shailas, and some Rabbanim know very little, and some Rabbanim know everything that they don't even that which they don't have to know. It's true Rabbanim, and many times Rabbanim go into the pulpit before knowing much, but at least they should know that which is shchiach. So Rama writes that a shochet should at least know the common shailas, and when it's an uncommon shaila, he'll know to ask a question. So the simple understanding of this machlokas is just how prepared does a rabbi have to be? How prepared does a shochet have to be? Remember, I'm not sure if they still have this, but Rabbi Ezra Schwartz used to give a series for the smicha students for common shailas that would come up. Like he says that the most urgent shaila that would come up would be, I argue with that, I don't think it's the most urgent, but the most urgent is if they find the psul in a Sefer Torah. Like, on Shabbos. What do you do then? You can't call anyone. You have to make a decision right there in front of 500 people. It could be mortifying. Like that, they call you up. I remember my first Rosh Hashanah here, Yom Kippur, one of them, I don't remember what it was, I got an Aliyah, and I saw something puzzled in the Sefer Torah. I'm just like here for a few months. I'm like shaking. Like, Rav Weimer is davening downstairs, I'm davening in the main shul, and I wouldn't say the bracha afterwards, because it was puzzled. And I'm just like shaking, and then Rabbi Kurland, who from Shayasha was here, he davens for the Amud, so I motioned for him to come up, and he came up, and he looked at it, and he started like blowing and blowing and blowing and blowing, and there was a hair that was connecting to Osios, and he blew it off, and it was fine. It happens. The hair's there, it's possible. If you blow it off, it's fine, but these things do happen. There's another funny ma'aseh, I was once in a shul somewhere, it was Mincha, it was Parshas Balak. And they were laying Parshas Pinchas, Shabbos Mincha, laying the next week's Parsha. And then they found the psul in the Sefer Torah, and the rabbi didn't know what to do. The vav is split. They call rabbi over. I think it's long enough. So I didn't want to tell them that the vav is supposed to be split, and the word shalom is supposed to be split. And in fact, if it was connected, it actually would be pasul if it was connected. So I didn't want to tell him, but I let him do what he had to do. But these are the types of shayas that come up you need to be prepared for. On this tangent that we're going on anyways, discussing what it's like to be a rabbi, I think the most urgent shaila is that I ever got was Weinberg was away this past year for a few months, and I got a knock on my door. It was a Shabbos, and a person got a terrible call from a father in San Diego that he's having a heart attack. What should she do? Should she get on a plane or not? I walked around the town finding Rabbi Glatt. We found Rabbi Glatt, and he helped deal with the situation. So those are more urgent sometimes, life and death situations. Either way, the point Rama is telling you is the more common shaila is a rabbi or shochet has to know what comes up, how to deal with it. So it sounds like it's a very practical thing from the Rama's perspective. So why in the world does the Beis Yosef quote the Shita? You have to know Tanakh, you have to know half of Shas and everything else to be a shochet. It doesn't make any sense. Elamai, the answer is it may not be so practical. The idea of knowing Hilchos Shchita is not only to be practical, it's also to be mumcha in Hilchos Shchita, to be mumcha in Shas, in Kol Torah Kula. It's more of a chalos shame of being a shochet. And one final point I'll mention here, and then we'll stop, is the Rashba has two dayas, whether or not, you have a question?
Oh, yeah. Rav Shechter quotes that when the Rav was at a town, the shochet was the sister Rav, and he would actually answer them something.
Right. So the shochet was certainly a big talmid chacham. That was you see from this, he needs to know a lot. I don't know halacha lemaisa what is needed nowadays, but certainly back then, Europe and could be early times in America, the shochet knew a lot more than just hilchos shchita. I don't know what qualifies nowadays. So now the Rashba quotes two dayas whether or not retroactively a shchita could work, meaning if the shochet at the time didn't know hilchos shchita, and then he learned afterwards. Could he try to think back, rewind in his head what he had done if everything was done correctly? So those are 2 days in the Rashba. So the Kasa Mishnah just says very simply why it wouldn't work. So the one idea that it works is if he knows halachas now, he can remember what he had done a couple of hours ago, and he could replay in his head, and everything's going to be fine or not fine. So what's the reason why you can't replay in your head? If he knew Hilchos Shchita now, everything I did was fine. Everything was kosher. Why is that not sufficient? So Kesem Mishnah says, very practically, because the Chol Milsa de L'Rami Aleh de Inish Avidlei V'Lav Adayte. If you didn't know the halachas at the time, you're just not sensitive, you're not paying attention to it. you know, it's I spoke a couple weeks ago in the drasha about this idea, what people think in their mind. Ramesh Targum, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, he gave a shmuz to us in Hakotel. I said the idea of like learning in Eretz Yisrael is to try to get the focal point of the way you think the Torah. Meaning, you used to think the way brains work is there's the compartment of math and compartment of Torah, compartment of English and history, everything's like separate components. But the idea is to really know there's a focal point. A guy who's a math mind and thinks of everything in the world through math. He looks at Torah, gematrias, let's say. He sees the world in math. And a guy who's a science guy sees everything through science. And the idea is to get the Torah to be the focal point and view the entire world through the lenses of Torah. So but if you, you know, you walk into a room, you think halacha. You walk into a room, if you're a math guy, you think numbers. If you're a lawyer, you think of what the legal ramifications are. That's how you think. But if you don't know any halachas, you just can't be sensitive to what you're walking in. And try to replay back what happened before, and you're not paying attention. You can't work backwards like that. And for that reason, the Kazan Mishnah says the shechita doesn't work even b'dieved. So I thought a very simple understanding is, not against the Kazan Mishnah, but a different suggestion along the lines of what we're saying right now. No, because he didn't know hilchos shechita. It's not a practical point here. The idea of yodea hilchos shechita, it defines who's a shochet. So if at the time he wasn't a yodei hilchos shechita, he wasn't considered a shochet, and that's why it doesn't work b'dieved. Not because he didn't know the halachos or practically. Let's say you knew for sure. Let's say you're a replay. You could mamish videotape everything that took place, and you could see the whole ma'isa shechita. So then, will we say retroactively, would it work? So according to the Kazan Mishnah, possibly it would work. If you could do a real replay of everything, so maybe it would work according to the Kazan Mishnah. But according to what I'm suggesting here, again, on you know, holding on to the coattails of Rav Soloveitchik, that no, if he wasn't a shochet at the time, it's possible. It's like a katan doing a shechita. It's like a zar doing an avoda. This would be the same inyan. And that would explain another reason why if he did the shechita and didn't know hilcha shechita retroactively, even if he learned halachas later on, it wouldn't work. Okay, so we'll stop here. The rest of the week, what we're going to